Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our city council meeting. I'm glad everyone's here, and we appreciate you being here. And if during the course of the meeting, if you'd like to speak on any of the issues that we have on our agenda, you certainly may do so. Just raise your hand at any time, at the appropriate time, and we'll call on you to come up to the mic and speak. We do ask that you try to hold your conversations to 5 minutes if you can. We never know how many people will want to speak on any particular subject. So that's why we do that. So as we begin our meeting this evening, we'll have council prayer and a pledge of allegiance to our flag.
Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, our Maker, and our Sustainer, we thank you for this, another day, a gift from you. Lord, we thank you for Sandra Field and her service to the Daughters of the American Revolution. We ask that you give her strength to continue to serve. God, we're so grateful that you've provided us a reasonable portion of health and strength. As we discuss the business of the evening, we ask that you open our hearts that we might hear, open our minds so that we might know you. Open our eyes, dear Father, so that we might see you in the faces of others. God, enable us to discern between that which is good and which is not. Make us builders of bridges, not barriers or obstructionists. When we make mistakes, dear Father, correct us. When we fall, we ask you to pick us up. Help us to continue to serve our community with sincerity and dedication. We will always, dear Father, acknowledge you and your gifts, and we'll give you the praises and the honor. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions to our agenda this evening?
Mayor, I would like to add a request under the petitions and requests section, and it's a review of a logo prototype for the city of Macon.
Okay. Good. Any other comments? Do we have a motion and agenda then? A motion and second to support this agenda.
Mayor, I move we approve the agenda as amended.
I second.
Okay. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Next item is the minutes. Consideration of the minutes of April 9th, 2012, regular meeting minutes.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the minutes as written.
Second, Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. This evening, we're so blessed to have a special recognition of Dr. Sandra Fields and the work that she and the team have done, the Juilliard team. And I would like to, in presenting this, I would like to go back a little bit to March 11th, when Juilliard and Aiken was in town for the week. And we were at the Baptist Church, and we had a beautiful proclamation. Council will recall that we had a proclamation for Juilliard Week. And at that time, and I think to show just how much Aiken meant to Juilliard, and of course Juilliard means so much to Aiken, and the president of Juilliard, Dr. Joseph Polisi, was there with us. And so it was an honor to present this proclamation to him. And I think that certainly shows how much he regards the city of Aiken and the work that's being done here by the Juilliard team, Juilliard and Aiken. And so at this time, I would like to invite Dr. Sandra Truitt-Field and Cheryl Quinn. Cheryl is a regent of the Henry Middleton DAR chapter here in Aiken, and Zee Homoki, chairman of the DAR Community Service Award, to come forward to the mic over here, if you would, please. And while they're moving over there, I'd like for all of the members of DAR to stand, please, and be recognized, if you would. Words, please. As I'm sure many of you know, the DAR ritual reads, "To perpetuate the memory and spirit of men and women who achieved American independence, and to promote the development of an enlightened public opinion, and to foster patriotic citizenship." These are the objectives of the Society, the Daughters of the American Revolution. This evening, it is Council's pleasure, on behalf of DAR, to present Dr. Sandra Field with the DAR Community Service Award as the President of Juilliard and Aiken. Only 4 short years ago, along with Juilliard and Aiken Board Directors, Co-Chairman Gregory W. Smith, Esquire, and Stephen Nafe, Esquire, had the vision for Juilliard and Aiken and brought it to fruition. It is noteworthy to say your numbers speak for themselves. You began with 50 volunteers and did outreach in schools in 12 schools, reaching 500 students. This year, 4 years later, you had 195 volunteers and did outreach in 40 schools, reaching over 4,600 students. What an amazing feat this is. Thank you, Sandra, from the City Council and the Aiken community for all you have done, and we congratulate you on the recognition, your recognition by DAR for your community service. Thank you so much. I'll give it to you in a minute. I just want to read the National Society of the Daughters of the American Revolution Certificate of Award presented to Dr. Sandra Field for Excellence in Community Service, 2012, signed by Cheryl Gwynn and Shelby Whitson.
I just have to say a couple of words of thanks. Certainly to Mr. Mayor and City Council members, Regent Cheryl Gwynn, and the DAR chapter of Aiken, and Zee Homoki, Chair of the Community Service Award. And to all my friends, thank you so much for this Community Service Award. I'm truly honored and humbled by this recognition, especially since it comes from a group that promotes service to country and service to community. But you have to know that Juilliard and Aiken is certainly not a one-woman show, and I must thank our co-chairmen of the board, Greg Smith and Steve Nafee. It's their extraordinary vision that created this relationship with the Juilliard School and was the inspiration for the festival. And I'm also extremely grateful to have a very hardworking board, 20 members who generously give their time, talents, passion, and commitment to this effort. And certainly we cannot underestimate the amount of hours that 195 volunteers put into the week. So when we incorporated in 2008, I don't think any of us thought that we would get this far this fast in 4 years. In fact, even Dr. Felici, the president of the Juilliard School, who was here this past year, was impressed with what he saw. And so truly I'm accepting this award on behalf of our Juilliard and Aiken Board of Trustees and the Juilliard School. And I'd like to quote one child from Episcopal Day School who attended our Kids Bop concert. He said, "It takes a lot of practice to get really good." And I think that's true about most things in life. So we are going to continue practicing and hopefully working towards a festival each year that will bring wonderful performances to our community and teach, motivate, and inspire thousands of more children like this one in our county and beyond. So again, thank you so much. It's just a great pleasure and honor. And I will hang this very proudly in my office. Thank you.
And Mayor Lisa Hall is here from Parks, Recreation, and Tourism. She has an additional item to present to council this evening. Lisa?
Okay.
And Assistant City Manager Beanbow has it. No, this is the, that was the, on your desk. And if we could go ahead and key up the video, that'd be great.
I'll do this right after she gives the next one.
And if we could let Lisa introduce it, Stuart, before we actually play.
Where's the sound to it?
All right. If you have the pause on, please.
Okay, I'm just making sure it's set up.
Yeah, you're good.
Am I good to go?
You're good.
Awesome. Okay. To Mayor and City Council, I'm very proud to let you know that the Aiken Thoroughbred Racing Hall of Fame and Museum has been named the best equestrian attraction in the state of South Carolina for 2012. And we're just very, very proud of this award. I've got several docents here who volunteer at the museum. If my docents would stand up, that's here. Mrs. Moore, Mrs. Lofquist, Mr. Brubaker, and Mrs. Smith. And I also have several members of my advisory board here. I'd like for them to stand up, please. Thank you. Deanie Grote, and to her left is Mr. Joe Alisi, and in front is Susie Haslip, and then Mr. Winterstein, George Winterstein. And without the help of our docents and our advisory board, we would not have won this honor. So I'm very appreciative of everything that they do. I'd like to read the plaque, and then after that, I'm going to show a brief video. And this is going to be shown not only on our website, but on this international website called The Official Best Of. And hopefully it'll bring more people over to Hopelands and to the Hall of Fame. This is an award of excellence from The Official Best Of to the Aiken Thoroughbred Racing Hall of Fame and Museum as the official best equestrian attraction in the state of South Carolina for 2012. as awarded on the official Best of South Carolina 2012 program, as seen on the Discovery Channel, and is dated for March 21st, 2012. And I've actually known about this since November, but I don't like to go around saying stuff until I know everything's in print and everything's in stone. So, Mr. Mayor, would you like to accept this for the city?
I sure will. Thank you. Let me come over there and get it. Okay. All right.
She's going to walk with it.
I'm going to briefly show, if you'll pass that around, I'm going to show the video.
Okay.
While you make your way back to the computer, Lisa, it was very significant. We had the the volunteer appreciation luncheon last Thursday at Newberry Hall. We had over 100 people in the room, and the mayor asked if anyone had never been to the Thoroughbred Racing Hall of Fame to please raise their hand. And absolutely no hands went up. So everybody in the room had visited the museum.
Hope I'm doing this right.
Mr. Beanbow will help you if you ask him.
Just go ahead and go? Okay, so my laptop, so just see the sound is not the best.
Thoroughbred Racing Hall of Fame and Museum celebrates the great tradition of racing and Aiken's vital role in it. 39 champion thoroughbreds have trained at the famed Aiken training track. The Hall of Fame immortalizes each in the charming old carriage house. The Hall of Fame features both flat races and steeplechase horses from 1942 through the present. Photos, trophies, and other memorabilia highlight these outstanding horses. The Aiken Thoroughbred Racing Hall of Fame Museum, the official best equestrian attraction in South Carolina for 2012.
That's it.
Lisa, I'm afraid that isn't all, though. I'm sorry, the mayor had something he wanted to discuss with you.
Get on the way.
Yes, sir.
It's been nice. That's been nice for a long time, and it will be for a long time, too. Lisa, because you've worked so well, you've done so much for the Hall of Fame, for Hopelands, for Rye Patch, for anything that you've done, really, since you've been with the city. We want to present this to you. This is in the spirit of true character. The City of Aiken honors Lisa Hall with the Mayor's Character Award for diligence, enthusiasm, and creativity. Your character is an inspiration to all of us. And we mean it from all of council.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to say to Lisa Hall, I'd like to say to Lisa, who I have known over 30 years and worked with on numerous programs, Teens Under Fire, the Substance Abuse Free Environment Team for Young People. Lisa has always been very active in this community and always did her best with everything that she touched. And I appreciate her so much. And I thank you, Lisa.
Thank Under old business, we have item one, appointments to boards, commissions, and committees. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you so much. We do have 14 pending appointments to our boards, commissions, and committees. Tonight, we have 6 appointments for council's consideration and a vote. Councilmember Ebner has recommended the reappointment of Channing Jones to the Housing Authority. That term would expire May 28, 2017, because the Housing Authority terms are for a period of 5 years. Councilmember Price has recommended the reappointment of Helen Simpkins to the Senior Commission. That term would expire March 14, 2014. She also recommended the reappointment of Angela Key to the Accommodations Tax Committee. That term runs until March 25, 2014. Also, she's recommended the reappointment of Joanne Saunders to the Arts Commission. That's a term that would expire April 11, 2014. Councilmember Wells has recommended the reappointment of Susan Victor to the Accommodations Tax Committee. That's a term that expires March 25, 2014. And then also he recommended reappointment of Scott Raines to the Arts Commission. That term would also expire on April 11, 2014. For council consideration tonight are these 6 appointments to various boards and commissions as described.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second to approve?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
We have a second. Motion and a second. Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. And are there any nominations that you want to make at this time for the next agenda?
I would like to ask that Timothy Redd, who was serving on the Building Code Appeals Committee, be allowed to continue his service. He has requested to do so. And if that is allowed, his term will be good until May 2014. And Scott Murphy, who was serving on our Senior Commission, requested that he be allowed to continue to serve as well.
Okay, thank you. Any others? Okay, those two then will be on the agenda for next meeting.
And that'll be May 14, Mayor.
Okay. Item 2, second reading, public hearing of an ordinance to amend the Aiken Flood Damage Prevention Plan. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The simple title of this ordinance is an ordinance amending the City of Aiken Flood Damage Prevention Ordinance. From time to time, FEMA conducts a study and as a result recommends certain changes to the standard ordinance. Actually, they mandate the changes to the ordinance for that to be effective. It's important that we adopt these mandated changes so that folks that find property or structures within the floodplain will be able to get flood insurance for that. As we told you at our last meeting, Engineering and Utilities Department Director Larry Morris and our city attorney Gary Smith, who unfortunately cannot be here tonight, but for a good reason, his son's being recognized at Garner Webb up in North Carolina this evening, have reviewed these revisions and prepared the ordinance that you have in your agenda packet. You approved this unanimously on first reading at your April 9th meeting, so for consideration tonight is second reading public hearing of the ordinance to adopt the updated flood damage prevention ordinance.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second on this issue?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Second.
We have a second. Okay. Any discussions? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Item 3, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the traffic management section of the zoning ordinance regarding traffic studies in planned commercial zones. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. This ordinance is similarly, very simply titled, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance regarding the planned commercial zone requirement for traffic studies. We discussed this at first reading at your April 9th meeting. This is a result of requested review by the Planning Commission. Council asked them to look at opportunities to update the zoning ordinance so that the zoning ordinance and the traffic management ordinance were more compatible and more in line with one another. You have the proposed revision on page 97 of your materials. You did approve this unanimously at the April 9 meeting, and for consideration tonight is second reading and public hearing of this ordinance to amend the traffic management ordinance regarding traffic studies for planned commercial development.
Okay, thank you, sir. We have a motion and a second for approval.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? Up show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Under new business, first item, first reading of an ordinance to rezone property owned by
HEAIK?
Yeah, HEAIK, LLC, from general business to planned commercial. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you so much. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance amending the zone of real estate owned by HEAIK, LLC, from general business to planned commercial. You do have materials in the next item as well as this item that show the location of this property. This is the South Park Shopping Center that's on Whiskey Road immediately south from Colony Parkway, kind of catty corner across from the Palmetto Golf Course. It's where Fred's is currently located, Aaron Rents, and other businesses were previously located there. And this parcel is actually adjacent to the shopping center. On page 105, you'll see it's marked site, S-I-T-E, and is just above that title of South Park Shopping Center. As part of the redevelopment, repurposing of the buildings in the shopping center, HEAIK is asking to rezone this property so it will have similar zoning as the rest of the shopping center. This is an ordinance, so this is first reading and consideration of the rezoning of the 1.56 acres from general business to planned commercial. The attorney for HEAIK, Bill T-U-C-K-E-R, is here tonight and can answer questions about the rezoning as well as the next item that council would like. But for consideration on first reading is that ordinance for rezoning.
Okay. All right.
Mayor, members of council.
Yes, sir.
I'm Mr. T-U-C-K-E-R. T-H-A-N-K-S. I assume you need to treat these separately since they are two separate ordinances, but Richard has already advised you that they do sort of go hand in glove. So Mr. Tom Vincent is the president of Halverson Development, who is the operator of the shopping center, and could not be here tonight for first reading. Tilden Hildebrand and I, Tilden from Hassan Hildebrand, are here to answer any questions that you or anyone in the audience might bring up regarding this project. And Tilden does have his storyboards with him if you want to see some more detail of anything. But as Richard has already described, this is actually just to bring what is now the abandoned, it was Cellular One, and then it was, I believe, Verizon, immediately behind Applebee's. This is simply to bring that parcel, which shares a common ownership now with the rest of the shopping center, into the same zoning designation as the rest of the shopping center. And as you will see in the next ordinance, part and parcel of the plan is to demolish the existing building and to create a new structure that will face south into the parking, the shared parking area, and be part of that complex. So it would no longer be an out parcel, basically, that has its orientation to Colony Parkway. It would face southward into the large parking lot. So this is simply to get that parcel in the same zoning designation as the rest of the property.
And Mr. Tucker, my understanding is by rezoning it, that would take this parcel and put it under the concept plan for the redevelopment
that
of the
site. That is correct.
But this first portion, I want to make sure I'm clear. It's not a standalone. For example, I have a couple of questions about a gas station going into that outparcel building. Is it now the time to bring that up, or is that going to be considered the next item?
I think it's going to be considered in the next item, okay. And I can assure you that that's not the plan for this particular parcel. It would be a retail building with not more than nine units of not more than 9,600 square feet.
Well, the reason I raised the question, and that's what, because I was confused.
Okay.
Looking at the Planning Commission memo attached to this item,
it addresses both of the old Verizon building, which is going to have the, is it up to 10 spaces?
Nine.
And but it also talks about an outparcel that would be created south of Applebee's. So that's
and that's part of the, that is now part of what you would think of as the big parking lot.
Okay,
I think maybe that's more appropriately talked about in the next.
That's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine. I would just make one comment, which is sort of somewhat related, and that is in studying both of these packets, I have to say, in all candor, I wasn't impressed with the Planning Commission reports. They seem to me to be kind of perfunctory. They weren't in detail. We have some very, very knowledgeable people in our Planning Commission, and I like to know the questions that they ask and the issues that they're worried about. And if you look at both the Planning Commission reports, they're just almost like a book report that you would submit from school. So I would plead, please, with staff to give us more information on the Planning Commission deliberations. And the other issue is there, seems like I'm picking on the Planning Commission, but I'm not. They're in the habit of having a pre-work session, and I hope they don't end up making a lot of decisions in the pre-work session that the people that come to the regular meeting at the regular time are not privy to. I don't know how the pre-sessions, I know their Board of Zoning Appeals, I think, does a pre-session. I'm not sure whether they should even be held, but I just wanted to make those comments for whatever they're worth.
Do you have any specific questions for Bill at this time?
No. Now that I know we're going to be talking about the outparcel in the next one, no.
Right. Yeah, okay. I wonder, do you have a bigger picture of what the front will look like? I would like to see that, if we may.
It's somewhat dependent on who they attract to go into those spaces. And I know that at the Planning Commission meeting, Tom Vincent was saying that there was a restaurant who was considering it, which would be taking up more than one of the spaces, and probably would also have some exterior, some outside dining, patio dining off of one end.
Right. Are some of them fixed already, Bill, so you know what's going to be there?
I don't think so.
Nothing's...
This would be a smaller building, brand new building, and everybody...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what we would see then from Whiskey Road.
Mr. Matt...
This is big, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But this is smaller, and this would be looking in from the parking lot, looking north of Fairfield.
Right, right.
Comfort Inn now.
Yeah.
And so Applebee's would be over here.
Mm-hmm.
This would be the what you'd see if you were looking from Whiskey Road into the shopping center. Actually, so this would be your Whiskey Road elevation if you look through Applebee's. This actually would be what you would see from Collins and Parkway.
Uh-huh.
It's the back side of the building. But I think it's indicative of the detail of this plan. You see how much architectural detail they're putting on the backside of the building. And
I think that
a similar situation would be where Ferrando's and Marvel Slash Creamery is off of Centennial Parkway. And it's not ugly, but it's just painted concrete block back there. And here they've got the artificial windows, but they're making it look like the front side of the building, which is the back side of the building.
Yeah.
This is, I think, the high level of the...
Will there be any entrance or exits from that side of the building, Bill?
No, it would all be from the south side.
That's it.
Yeah.
Unless there's a service, service store back.
Yeah, well, that looks... Yeah, it's nice to have.
It would not be an ugly elevation, even going down Collin Park. It would be a very attractive.
Yeah.
It's on your monitor as well as up on the big screen.
Mm-hmm. It's a super job.
Yes, it does. Thank you very much. Tilden, thank you.
And it's obviously designed to mimic the street front move that they're trying to create on the big
screen. Mm-hmm. Where in there would be the Fresh Market?
Fresh Market is designated for this. It's a part of where Fred's is now.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. hard to tell because it's so radically changed. There's a totally new facade. Artificial second-story windows and awnings and things like that. Their goal is to try to sort of mimic what we have on Water Street with a variety of
very
facades
good.
And elevations. I'm saying all that right, so I'm not living.
But where is he?
I'm just a hired guy.
That sounds pretty good.
I got to listen to Tom's presentation to the Planning Commission. And, so,
and I'm sure Tom will elaborate a lot better.
He will be here before next.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine, yeah.
Now, you've got a payday lender and a restaurant in there now. Are they going to stay?
I can't answer that question. I think the goal is to have the restaurant stay. I'm not sure about the other.
Okay.
So have you been contacted by anybody else that's interested in?
Yes, they're in negotiations with several other prospects. And somebody was saying to me the other day to have a conversation that they were encouraging somebody who had some influence, and they were suggesting that this was going to be a really hot place for new business to locate and look at it.
If the quality of design that we see right now is any indicator, you won't have any trouble at all. It's just a great job.
Mm-hmm. But the fresh market would be 19,000 square feet. And most of what is the bread's space now.
Yeah.
Will import it.
That's not a bad area to ingress and egress from. In addition to that, you have lots of good parking spaces, and there's something about the ambience of that area that has not been fully utilized in the past. So this will give it the attraction it needs, I think.
And Pizza Hut is in that same parking center.
Yes.
Would they make a separate facade change?
Pizza Hut is not owned by these folks, and it's an out parcel, and so they don't have any control over the architecture. The only interrelationship is that there are cross easements for them to get in and out and across the big parking lot. So they do have that contractual relationship, but they do not own that. Nor do they own the Harvard's liquor store. That is separately owned. So that's not part of this.
The only downside is we lose our parking spots for Hopeland's at Christmas.
Well, that was brought up at the Planning Commission meeting, and I believe Mr. Vincent discussed that. Tom Vincent talked about that, and planning staff already said that they were thinking about what they were going to do to make that take that up. That is a hopefully a very minor negative.
Well, yes. A lot of these businesses will probably be closed by the time you start.
I would think so. Fresh Market would obviously not.
Would probably
I think
be
most
the only
of those stay
open
until 9 or 10.
Right. Yeah. This year we should be okay. Yeah.
Well, you have Mitchell, which is just a few steps away.
Right.
That is not fully utilized.
That's right.
So that's an alternative.
Good point.
Well, this is certainly an improvement over what we have there now.
I think so.
And
Mayor, you can see it up on the screen now. Let's put it up there. Pizza Hut is.
Right.
Need a motion, Mr. Mayor?
Okay. Yes, we do.
Move to approve this ordinance to rezone 1.56 acres at 170 Colony Parkway from general business to planned commercial.
I second.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, your hands, please. Approval. Passes unanimously. Thank you.
It's okay. I'll just stand by and...
Okay. Yeah, don't go away. Okay, first reading under item 2, excuse me. First reading of an ordinance approving concept plan for South Park Shopping Center. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance approving the concept plan for property located on the east side of Whiskey Road and known as South Park Shopping Center. And again, the owner is HEAIK. They have come up with the concept plan that you've briefly discussed with the other application for rezoning. That did go to the Planning Commission at their regular meeting on April 11, and you have the memorandum from Chairman Wilkins-Byrd, who is here today. That begins at page 113 in your materials. As part of the Planning Commission review, they have approved unanimously the concept plan in Section 1 of the ordinance, there are 10 different conditions that are set forth there. You will note that condition number 7 is that any mitigation approved by SCDOT be done before the issuance of a certificate of occupancy. And certainly, we share the Planning Commission's concern that traffic be adequately handled for this parcel. And Mr. Morris, if you could make your way up at this time. The concern that we have is in working with SCDOT, we wouldn't want to necessarily delay a certificate of occupancy being issued until full and final sign-off on the remediation measures by SCDOT. We certainly would have a plan designed and filed with them with the necessary permits, but we wouldn't want to cost the developer money if those remedial actions are being taken. Mr. Morris, I think you've got that on the computer. Is that coming up at this time? We could switch to the computer, please.
It's trying to shut down on me. I'll have to bring it back up.
Okay. Stuart, if you don't mind, if you bring those easels up, we actually have a hard copy while we're trying to bring up the
So what you're saying, Mr. City Manager, is that
we do have a proposed plan for actually handling the traffic, and it'll help us address some other needs. Mr. Morris can speak to that in detail. If you could let Mr. Beedenbo pull up the computer, Mr. Morris, you've got these hard copies. If you could just pull that out.
This is Applebee's. This would be the area, Councilman Dewar, that would be the other out parcel that they talked about south of Applebee's. What we propose is taking the internal lane that is currently going south, turning it into a left turn only lane. And we would actually start that lane. This is essentially the end of it. This is the southernmost entrance into the area. And we would be ending there because we have a dedicated left turn lane started here in Kings Grant. And from there south, Whiskey Road is a full five-lane section. So what we're trying to do is get the traffic to flow better on Whiskey. As any of you know, now, whenever you go on Whiskey Road, if someone wants to turn left in this lane, that lane comes to a halt. And with that being the case, we're trying to get the traffic to flow a lot smoother and a lot safer.
Well, it only comes to a stop if you've got a lot of cars who want to go left into Kings Grant. Isn't there a left turn going into Kings Grant now?
There is at the traffic signal. Back north of Kings Grant, what you have, Mr. Dewar, is folks tend to kind of move towards that center line and almost go into oncoming traffic, waiting on the opportunity to turn left in. So we could go ahead and put the other placards up.
Mr. Morris.
But you have your corner. Have your corner.
I do not.
You're pulling up on your screen.
Mr. Morris.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is taking one of the southbound lanes and turning it into a turn lane?
That is correct.
Yep.
So, I mean, essentially, we would be doing the same thing that happens now when one car is sitting there waiting to turn and then you get others that back up behind them.
Well, in actuality, we keep the traffic flowing smoother because what happens now? Let's go to Colony Parkway, for instance. Colony Parkway is here. And so if you would bring that down to the Colony and kind of zoom in on Colony a little bit. Right there. That's Colony right there. Yes, that's Colony. Just you can zoom in on that just a little bit, and it'll also show on the monitors.
So we're moving all the cars over into one lane.
What happens now is when we have a turn in the colony, any cars that are in this interior turn lane right here stop. Mm-hmm. And if they're wanting to go through on that turn, if they're wanting to go through south, a lot of times you'll see them trying to get
back over
that
into
other
the other lane.
And you know it does create some traffic safety issues. By having a through left turn lane there, then the traffic flow in the straight through southern turn lane will keep moving. And you won't have the people trying to get back into it and weaving back and forth. It'll be a straight, smooth shot. The ones that do want to turn left will be able to in a safe manner because they'll be in an actual left turn only lane right there.
And Larry, since we have the three sections, that'll actually help with folks turning left onto Brandy, Barnard, Boardman, as well as Colony, and eventually down to King's Grant.
That is correct. If we look, I know I may be blocking you, Ms. Wells. If we look, we're starting up here. This would be Bernard, right here. We're starting just north of Bernard. You can go ahead and it'll catch up to you. Okay, right about there. We're starting just north of Bernard. We would be able to turn there. We'd be able to get into Brandy. We'd be able to come into Boardman, which right now, every time someone wants to turn left at the light at Boardman, we have that problem of people trying to get over to go around them. Very unsafe condition. We would also then have our turn-ins into the commercial area. This is a commercial building here. This is commercial. It used to be a gas station. Now it houses, I believe, a restaurant. This is a restaurant. This is a another commercial area. So you see we create a lot of safety area for that. This is also Westover Avenue that we can turn into. Colony Parkway, which is here, and then of course we'll get into South Park. So all of these left turn movements then would become much safer because they would be dedicated. Now, if we have cars stack up, say two, three, four, however many, because we have a continuous left turn lane, we have stacking room. So it's not a case of, well, only two or three can turn and then the other lane stops. It's just like the five-lane section on Whiskey Road from there south. It doesn't matter how many cars want to turn left. All they have to do is move into that center fifth lane, if you will, and they're able to turn left in a safe manner.
What about the drainage issues? I mean, a lot of times during heavy rains, you see people traveling in that left-hand southbound lane to avoid the water that stays in that right-hand lane.
Mm-hmm. The drainage issues that we have right there, we can't address with this project. We don't have the funding for that. The one reason that we're trying to get this through is to be able to address the stripes, the paint stripes. If we do start trying to erase the stripes and move over to give additional drainage area or reconstruct the drainage, then we have to take over the drainage and we're going to have to repave that entire section of Whiskey Road, which is well beyond the scope of what we have funding for at this point in time. We have worked with the DOT to try to eliminate some of the drainage problem, which occurs just down beyond Collin, where we've got a fairly significant drainage area. There is a cross drain down here around there's one here at Boardman, and there's one also down at Bernard. That cross drain under the road that the DOT has not piped to, which could eliminate those puddles very much so. At this point in time, they do not have plans for that work, but that's certainly something that we try to work with them on, especially when we know they're going to be repaving, to try to get that water to move out and not have the ponding.
Larry, those would... Even though you're having the left lane, you're going to create that.
Yes, ma'am.
That won't include a left turn signal, will it?
It would not include left turn signals. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a matter of cost and trying to redo the signalization there. As council is aware, turn signals at intersections are very expensive, and you get into a lot of design work that the SCDOT requires to be done before that can be achieved. So even though there wouldn't be left turn signals as such at those intersections, the only traffic center that is affected is the one that is at Boardman. So it's not really a situation there where we would want to try to add signals. I think that would severely impede the traffic flow in that area.
But there will be some notification that you're coming up on this situation where it's going to be left turn only, so that people won't just get in this lane and stay there and hold everybody else up.
Yes, ma'am. I've asked Mr. Beedlebo to hand up to the top for you so you can see a little better. But if you look at this end, up just beyond Brandy, I'm sorry, just beyond Bernard, where we start, takes a little while for that one to move. This area that we have heavily colored right here.
You need to move right.
Mm-hmm. You need to go right now.
You have to hand right. This area right here that's heavily colored, that area would actually be striped so that we would have diagonal striping in it. We would also have left turn arrows and words left turn on the okay. Then once we get into that, then we would use left turn arrows where we have streets such as Brandy or Colony Parkway or others, so that the left turn arrows themselves would indicate left turn on them.
But if you were in that left turn arrow lane, how long is this? About a half a mile or a third of a mile that we're going to have?
I have not measured out.
But say it's a third of a mile for the sake of my question.
Okay.
Once you're into that, you can get out of it at any point in time to get back into the right lane, can you not?
That is correct.
Okay. Is the developer going to help us pay for any of these mitigation costs with the traffic?
I know that in the plan, they are going to pay for putting in a right-in, right-out turn at the driveway of the Pizza Hut, that access point. We have not discussed the restriping. We actually saw this as an opportunity to handle some other traffic problems that we had at Boardman, Bernard, and at Brandy.
But those problems, in all honesty, have been with us for years, and without this project, they never would be addressed. I mean, that's the nature of having a two-lane road. We have that throughout the city. If you want to go left, whoever's behind you is going to have to wait till you go left until you turn, and then before they go. So
That is correct, yeah. Councilman Dewar. Whiskey Road carries over 30,000 vehicles a day.
Yeah, I know. And now you're proposing a project that we're not even going to give up a left-turn signal. I mean, we're going to have, I mean, when this project opens up, we know what we just went through with Cracker Barrel. We're still going through with Cracker Barrel. And this is going to be as popular, in my opinion, because people are dying to see Fresh Market come here. And so we're going to have them all coming south, and there's not going to be an arrow to turn. So they're all going to be at the mercy of the northbound traffic. And, I mean, I can see a situation where you're going to have you're going to wait 10, 15 minutes or 5 or 10 minutes before you can make a turn.
We do have some differences between this and Cracker Barrel. Just to...
Oh, I understand that. I was making the point of the number of visitors.
Right. Yeah. But what I'm looking at on there, and council does have in their packet a detailed drawing that we went up showing all of the various entrances into South Park.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I may point them out, mm-hmm. we have King's Grant that comes in here. You could continue down King's Grant, actually come in the rear if you wanted to. We have a right in, right out here. We have a entrance here. The entrance here into Applebee's could be used because there is cross easements. You see that does come through here. You can come down Colony Parkway. We have the entrance in Colony here, and we have the entrance there.
I understand. My point was only to talk about the numbers of people that are going to go. Any discussion at all or any concern with the number of entrances and exits onto this property? I mean, five? I mean, if we were doing this from scratch with our access management ordinance, we'd never allow five. I mean, is this an opportunity to control the traffic? I guess Mr. Dyer is not here tonight.
He's not. He could not be with us tonight. We're trying to make sure he's here at the second reading. And certainly these are certainly issues we do need to cover at the second reading, and of course with Tom Vincent when he's here with us. But that was one reason for the right turn in, right now, which we did at Cracker Barrel on the Whiskey Road side to help cut down on that number. It's a little bit of a sticky wicket because Applebee's, the Pizza Hut, and Harvard's are all separate parcels and not part of the shopping center. So we have to ensure access, and there's a possibility of another out parcel. So we saw the opportunity for that right turn in, right turn out there at the Pizza Hut driveway to help alleviate some of the, you know, plethora of driveways that you have there.
Yeah, I'm not worried about getting out of the property. I'm worried about getting into the property.
Well, the majority of the traffic, I would think, traveling south going into that shopping center would utilize the signaled intersection there.
King's
at
Grant.
King's Grant. I wouldn't see them trying to whip into the Applebee's parking lot and cut through unless it was a clear
even
shot.
Even with no turn signal?
There is a turn. I mean, at King's Grant, you've still got your signaled intersection there.
But it's not a turn signal.
There's not a left-hand turn signal now. Well, if you're going south, then.
If I may, during the work session for planning, we talked about that intersection there, and I see Mr. Wilkins is back there. And that intersection, in my opinion, and this was not in the Planning Commission stated meeting, this was in the work session, so different issue here. But we talked about that would more than likely need a left-hand turn and some different striping there because it's obviously going to pick up some load. Then if you drive that area now, there's not any markings on any of these streets. And I think with the traffic load, we're going to need some markings there. And then hopefully, if you're coming down Whiskey or you're coming down Silver Bluff, you'll take a right onto Price Avenue and slip in the back way. You're going to be a whole lot better. Even going to Moe's Monday there, you could get backed up.
You can.
But there was some discussion there, and I don't know how you filter that into this meeting, but we need to do that at the second reading for sure.
The intent is to have our legislative delegation go with us and sit down with DOT and discuss these kind of concerns to see what DOT is willing to do to work with us on that. They actually did have King's Grant marked with designated lanes, but it's faded. So at a very minimum, it needs to be repainted.
Yeah, once you cross King's Grant, then you kind of just weave into the liquor store or weave into Moe's there, whichever way you want to go.
Yeah,
but I think some well markings and maybe the little shiny dots on the road are better than markings. They don't wear out, and people bump over.
They last longer than the paint.
But anyway, I think there's some homework that needs to be done there with the whole plan, because all of these state highways, or is King's Grant and Colony Parkway City?
Colony Parkway City, King's Grant actually belongs to South Park.
King's Grant is not a public street. It looks like it, but it's not. It's a private drive with cross easements.
Is that going to be a problem to us?
No.
Who owns it?
The developer.
So obviously he's going to be cooperative then.
Yes, sir.
Okay. But I do think that when we do this plan, let's don't cut anything short, even analyzing Silver Bluff crossover, because I would think coming down Silver Bluff, you'd want to go down Price there. And
there is an opportunity to turn left on Colony Parkway.
Yes.
From Price.
And that unloads the intersection, so we can do some homework. Second thing that Mr. Wilkins mentioned in his letter, we want to open this up prior to opening day so people get used to it. I think would be a big as a suggestion or whatever we do. So and then I think getting the state, our state representative and our senator involved early is important, because the state is rather slow, let's say, to react to these kind of permits, as we found at Cracker Barrel.
I'm listening to the discussion, and I know the folks that will open business, they're hoping and praying that the activity is the level that we're having the discussion, they stay in business for a long time, and I hope so too. I'm in and out of that shopping area right now. I have been for a long time because I'd like to just
browse through Fred's, believe it or not, to see what they've got. I see folks entering on Colony Park. I think eventually we'll probably have to put a light there, a traffic light at Colony Park. And at King's Grant, I see them making that right turn. I really don't see the magnitude of the problem. I guess it's because I'm over in Augusta a lot. I go to Fresh Market over there. I know how that traffic ingress and egress, and I know what it's like, Masters, that entire week. And nobody has the experience, the concern, and maybe Augusta has his own thinking, I guess, of people that frequent that Washington Road, but we get a lot of concerns about traffic on Whiskey Road, and it's just within minutes of inconvenience, but I just don't get all that frustrated or exercised over 2 minutes of having to wait in the line to turn into an area. So, but again, the only thing that I see is that people will use that Colony Park probably, which is what I do now, as an entrance, and sometimes if we're at Applebee's, I use what you mentioned, Mr. Tucker, I think Larry, I use that at Applebee's, is going around and then going into that into the Fred's parking area. But I'm not as concerned as most about long lines of traffic trying to get in and a huge wait there. And I know you're concerned about safety issues, but I'm not that concerned about the traffic.
Just so everybody knows, not only was Roger Dyer involved in this and the determination of whether there needed to be a study, a separate traffic study or an updated traffic study, and then the developer also had Philip Hutcherson mm-hmm. from IRMO involved, and the two of them worked collaboratively about it. Mm-hmm. The supposition for the premise for the traffic study was 50% of the traffic into the shopping center would be coming from the north and 50% would be coming from the south. That is pure conjecture.
Yeah,
there's no way any of us will ever know, I guess, without the, out there with the counter at some point, but once it's up and going. But they felt that was the fairest thing. Certainly, I would think the Fresh Market is going to attract business from all parts of the city,
mm-hmm.
not any one area in particular. But just so you know that was the premise, mm-hmm. that it would be 50-50 from north and south. And while the developer obviously shares the concern about reasonable access and safety, I think any of us know from personal experience this has long been a problem long before this new influx of business. I mean, I can tell you from turning left down Boardman Road to visit our son and daughter-in-law that you take your life in your hands hoping that the car behind you is going to recognize that you're turning left and stop in that left turn lane. So certainly we see this as a more comprehensive, at least interim solution until you have to maybe at some point go to a five lane with a designated center lane, but that this would certainly be helpful not only to the South Park shopping, but that whole stretch of Whiskey Road that has been a problem for people wanting to turn left into the side streets and
well,
businesses.
Yeah.
And certainly by the time we come back to you with this at second reading, we will have had a meeting with DOT officials as far as any, you know, traffic signal at Colony. That they have a warrant study that they do to have to meet the warrants. As far as the left-hand turn arrow, we can, you know, have something definitive from them by the time we come.
Well, let me come back to DOT in a minute. But that traffic light is the one that I've been complaining about since I got on council in 2007. It is a very long traffic light. If you're coming out of Aiken Estates, I can tell you I've been, once in a while I get lucky and just as I hit it, it goes green. But more than not, I'm there waiting for a minute. Now, we don't control that traffic light, I guess. It's a DOT controls the timing of that light. Is that not the case?
That light was reworked and does have cameras on it, I believe, now.
It's part of the fusion system that DOT used grant money to install, and we're responsible for maintaining it.
I got to tell you, that camera system has... I mean, there are times when I go all the way up Whiskey. I don't have any complaints on that, but I'm telling you, coming out of Aiken Estates, there are still many times I'm sitting there for 60 seconds, and I don't see any traffic either way. So I would think if you're going to make the comment defending the cameras, we need to check them to see if they're working as they're supposed to. Because now, and my concern is that it's okay coming out of Aiken Estates, but it's that way coming out of the shopping center as well.
And if you're going to have people having to wait 60 seconds in traffic to get out of there, I mean, it's making a bad situation worse. So we really need to take a good hard look. And Mr. Dyer, the expert, ought to be able to give us an optimum timing for that light to minimize congestion. But I would submit the current timing is not ideal. Before I go to the last question, SCDOT, the other question I have is, when you're in that right lane going south on Whiskey, now you're to the right of the left turn lane, there's not a lot of protection for the pedestrians that would happen to be walking, and I don't know how many of them are walking on that right side. There's not very much of a barrier that would prevent the cars, the vehicles, from going up over the sidewalk. So if somebody were in the left turn lane only and decided they were frustrated and they wanted to get back in the right lane, and they did that and shouldn't have, the only alternative for a car that to avoid hitting them is to go off to the right, and there's not a lot of protection for that sidewalk.
It's
did you look
a
rolled, at that?
Rolled asphalt curb, and that is something we can discuss with DOT in our meeting. It's a fairly steep curb.
And with DOT, I mean, I get the sense that we're rushing this, and I don't know why, but I get the sense that we're the Planning Commission put a phrase in there that any mitigation approved by DOT be done before the issuance of a certificate of occupancy, and staff, for some reason, change that recommendation to let's do what we want to do and hope it all works out. I mean, I love this project. Let me tell you.
If I may, Mr. Dwyer,
well,
if I may, though, I want to address that. Staff is not rushing this. We are dealing with the reality that we're looking at approximately a six-month turnaround from what the developer has put in the paper, that they'll probably begin work sometime in June, and they anticipate being finished sometime in December. So there is a need for us to act quickly. That's why we wanted to bring it to council for first reading, have a sense of the issues that council members have, and then be able to address that at second reading.
Well, I would have appreciated the traffic engineer being here the first meeting. It's a major traffic issue. We've spent most of our time talking about it. And
he would have been, but he has some personal reasons he could not be here.
We could have delayed it, Mr. City Manager. We could have delayed it. But I still go back to my point, is that I'm not sure what's going to happen depending on what SCDOT does. And I think what you're asking us to do is to approve this project without absolute knowledge of what SCDOT is going to allow us to do and when they're going to allow us to do it.
We're asking council to approve it on first reading. You would
yes.
still have second reading and a public hearing for
and do you expect
for a full presentation.
But do you expect SCDOT approval before our next meeting? I don't think so.
I don't know what we mean by approval. We're certainly going to identify the issues that we will need to resolve with them to proceed forward.
Well, and are those issues going to be resolved before the next council meeting? Or?
I've already met with the local maintenance engineer on this issue. He does not have any real problem with it, but it does go beyond his authority. And what he has asked me to do is meet with the district traffic engineer in Orangeburg, and certainly we're trying to set that meeting up with him. Once we meet with him, I think we'll have a little better understanding of whether or not we need to go to Columbia. This is a problem that is recognized by the local district engineer and their staff. So it's an opportunity for them to be able to do something with the traffic situation there too. Is it a perfect solution? Certainly not. And I'm not proposing that it's a perfect solution. But I think it is one that would help us move traffic. I think it's one that would help us make the left-hand turn safer for those turning left because of the possibility of being rear-ended or what have you. I make left turn movements in that area a lot, too, just because of servicing our citizens through the job that I have. And during high-volume times of day, it is a very interesting situation when you start trying to turn left. You just hope the person behind you is watching what he's doing.
Well, I mean, we all do, and it's going to be even worse once we get this shopping center full, as I expect it will be with a superb design. I love the project. Don't get me wrong. I love the project. I'm just worried that we're just not paying attention that we should to traffic. I would be much more comfortable. I'd love to see a worst-case scenario. What if SCDOT doesn't help us in any way, and we approve this project, then what have we developed in the area of traffic? We're already saying we're going to make a long left turn lane, but we're not going to have a left turn arrow. I mean, that seems as though that's going to create a heck of a mess. It's going to encourage people to take one of the four entrances before that traffic light. So you'll have people trying to get in there every which way. The people on the south side will probably learn to come down around Price and avoid all that, all of it. I just would like to see it. Could you tell us what would happen in a worst-case scenario if SCOT wasn't able to or unwilling to work the way we want them to?
And that's why we've had the two traffic engineers study that. Mr. DeWard will certainly have answers for those questions at second reading. I mean, that's always our intent.
Again, it's a wonderful project. I really want to support it. My major concern is the traffic. And as Councilman Wells said, if you're not going to fix that puddle on Whiskey as it goes by Palmetto, that's going to be another problem, because right now most of us go around that. And that won't, I guess we could go around it still if there were no traffic. I want to reiterate, I guess you can go in and out of that left turn lane only and go back and forth if you wanted to without being sighted.
It's a left-turn lane. I have to defer to Chief Barranco on whether or not to be sighted if you started weaving in and out. Oh. I don't see people weaving in and out.
No, I just mean going from the left-turn lane to the right-turn lane at any point in the distance that the left-turn lane is made. It's not going to be a solid line, is it?
It'll be solid on the outside of it and dashed on the inside.
And I guess I would ask you a question of whether or not we're allowed to. Maybe public safety could tell us whether we are allowed to go from that to the right turn, or are we committed once we get into the left turn?
Might help us to meet with DOT first to find out what they're comfortable with on the district level before we commit DOT to, I mean, the public safety to what will be. We need to have that finalized.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fine. I think the good thing is we've generated the questions.
Absolutely.
You know, and
that's exactly why we wanted to be here tonight.
Yeah. I would have liked to have had a traffic engineer here, but
He was going to be here, Mr. DeWar. He just has personal reasons. He can't be in the room tonight.
I think the really good thing is I don't know of any other shopping center or any other area of business that we have that has as many entrances and out going out as this.
Yep.
There are at least six and maybe seven.
Mm-hmm.
And people can go any which way they want to. I think that's a good thing. That's bad at all. And Dick and others, if we're not happy on second reading, we'll delay it. Take third reading. We've done that before, not often, but we can do that.
You have?
Well, it's a great project.
Until we are satisfied, until the majority of council is satisfied that we have a good plan, the best thing we can get.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you need a motion?
Yes.
Can I insert one thing?
Yes.
Before you do that, it's already been addressed that condition number 7 in your memo to council has now been suggested that be eliminated or not be conditioned upon DOT approval. Is that the way I understand its current status, is that
the
right?
The staff reworded that.
Right. Very minor things, which I believe, I know have been discussed with Mr. Evans, who is here tonight.
And I neglected to mention those, Mr. Tucker, on the...
Have those?
I do.
Okay. I just want to make sure they're part of your motion.
Are you saying elimination number 7?
That would be our preference, or at least not to condition upon DOT approval.
And what we had changed that to is that it would be on file with DOT. On page 117 at the bottom of the page under the recommendations section of the memo to City Council, there's item number 3. It says that the facade of the out parcel building. It would be that the facade and canopy of the out parcel building be approved by the planning director. And then the additional language 2 is on the very next page, which is page 118. And you talked about the condition number 7. Then in the very next paragraph, number 8, you'll see in that second line, limited to 60 square feet, limited to a 12 feet tall, and that the final design be approved by the planning director. So instead of it would say the final design.
Do we want to?
Just one big if question I'm anticipating, because this is my part of town. Would the developer be willing to commit to no gas station on that property? I know he's hedging right now and says he wants to retain the right.
I'm not authorized to commit to that. I know that there are several things being considered, gas station, a small gas station convenience store being among them. Also mentioned at the Planning Commission level was a possible branch bank or a restaurant, all of which would have its own unique characteristics and traffic flow features. Yeah. I think that obviously created some concern at the Planning Commission level, talking about gas station and tanker trucks going in there to drop fuel and that sort of thing. But there is no specific plan for anything right now.
I understand. We don't have a lot of folks from Aiken Estates here, and I expect that there will be some folks who from Aiken Estates who will voice their concerns, if they have any, by the next meeting. I thought they might be here tonight.
And I'm happy to take all this feedback back to Mr. Benson in preparation for next meeting.
Along those same lines, a couple of months ago, we had a real long discussion about the gas station on the property that the new Walmart is built on. And everybody seems to have recalled the word upscale. Everybody did the research on the minutes, and the word upscale, you know, retail, upscale restaurant and so forth, did not appear. But it's funny, I was at the planning meeting where this was discussed, and the word upscale kept popping up, and I just found it incompatible to have an upscale gas station along with the rest of the plan, which is very nice. So just for the record, you know, as you know, the developer, Mr. Vincent, used the word upscale. I'm just kind of curious if he's going to put in a gas station. Somehow or another, the council should today say absolutely no gas station in there, or we should say, you know, it's allowed. But I think we should be, you know, we should agree on that so it's not thrown in our faces like it was back about the Murphy Oil.
Yeah.
And it should be part of the record.
Well, that's why I raised the question, because obviously you get the houses right across the street from where that outparcel is going to be in it.
That's correct.
A 24/7 gas station with lights. I can guarantee you we'll see the folks from Whitney here at the next council meeting, because they certainly would object to that. They probably would love to have a bank or an office building or something of that nature. But.
It may never be developed. That's the other thing. I mean, they may not find anybody to take that.
But. I know, but our city attorney's not with us tonight, but I think I remember him saying, this is our only chance to control what goes into a planned concept. And
I would agree with that.
I think he's going to tell us that we probably have the authority to say no gas station, but since he's not here, we'll have to wait.
No, I'm sure he will.
He did say the other meeting, you can condition
approval.
That's
why I brought up the issue, because... Yeah. The issue with Murphy Oil was the council should have made a record or specified what does, what cannot go in there. And that's what I asked. Does the council want to, you know, add in a stipulation, everything except the gas station? But then again, you know, when you look at the other side where the flower shop used to be, right next
Mitchell
to the used to be a gas station.
That was a Texas.
You know, so it's not really that remotely alien to the area.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But that area is not directly across from houses. So.
Well, not exactly.
And those gas stations were probably not 24/7 with the lighting that they now have on gas stations.
Yeah.
So different. Yeah.
Okay. Do we have a motion,
Mr. Mayor? Yes. With the exception stated by our city manager. The elimination of number 7 needs the condition of the DOT approval, and the modifications done with 8 that was mentioned, with the final design approved by the planning director. I think those were the changes that was mentioned.
Number 3, the canopy?
Yes.
He did.
Okay.
I move for approval on first reading. Of an ordinance approving the concept plan for South Park Shopping And as the mayor has said, this is the first reading. We need a second or third. We'll go with that. But,
if we have to, yeah.
Good concept.
Okay, do we have a second?
I second.
You second, okay. Any other discussion?
Yeah, just only
yes, if we need to reread.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Only if we don't have all of the information that we've talked about, I certainly would encourage staff to put the meeting off if we don't have what we need to make a decision.
That we can do too, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Okay, Reggie, excuse me.
Yes, a couple of things, and I've been kind of waiting in abeyance. First, we need to reread the motion as it was changed, so we'd be sure we got all the words in there. Do you have it written down? Or
I do. Uh-huh. I actually have it notated here. So we've got that in for second reading. That will be included.
All right. Well summarize it for me, please.
Okay. I want to get it cited in the actual order. Okay. On page 117 of your agenda packet, under recommendation, under item 3, you're going to add in the words "and canopy." So item 3 will read that the facade and canopy of the outparcel building be approved by the planning director. On the very next page, which is page 118, item 7 in the motion was removed, and condition number 8, there was additional language right after "limited to 12 feet tall, comma, and that it is to be omitted, and in place of it, the words "the final design" be inserted so that it would read "and that the final design be approved by the planning director."
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I think that, Mr. Tucker, we need some more definition on a service station. And the other one there, I traded there and everybody did, and I forgot the guy's name. He used to work out at the site, and that owned the other service station. Now it's a beer joint and a restaurant. I think we ought to have a little definition. Is this going to have, car wash and all of those things? And this is what got stirred up, part of the stir up over the other one. I think a little definition of that would be good for y'all to present next time. You can also put subdued lighting, and if I'm not mistaken, and please confirm, the operating hours of Fresh Market are not 24 hours a day.
No, sir. At least not the ones I'm aware of, but I can
And I think the gentleman said that, and it was asked about the service station, and it would also be controlled hours, if I'm not mistaken. But if you would confirm that next time.
Right now, there is no specific
Well, I understand,
station,
but I think that if you can answer the questions legitimately next time, it would go a lot smoother. I think if there's a car wash there and 5 red boxes and a XXX movie spot, it's going to be a trouble. So I think the
I don't think there's enough space for a car wash. Tilden, I think, would agree that that's not, and it would be was no more than 8 or 10 pumps. I mean, it was a smallish.
A little discussion will go a long ways, I think, appeasing the neighbors next time.
Thank you.
On that. And the other part, I think on the traffic flow, and going back to Cracker Barrel, yours truly here was pounding on the table at council meeting about a 5-lane in the entrances, and Mr. Morris remembers that we had some concerns at the city council level, and then when we went to the state, they had all kinds of, why are you putting 5 lanes in? Well, after we put it in, it's much better than the 2 they wanted to do. I think here it was discussed in the work session about an error on that, adding an additional left-hand turn error coming out of that King's Grant light plus the striping. And my intent would be that when we go for approval, that those items will be requested in there. And I think that we can make some headway. The key is that we ask for all of it at one time. And so I think that's the burden the city has to bear on that, to be sure we get the input. Mm-hmm. I would like, as Mr. DeWar said, to have both traffic engineers here next time if we could. I don't know if yours can make it or not, but I
certainly try.
I think that would be very good to have them both here and defend the honor. The other thing, that shopping center's been there for decades. The parking lot's the same size, and surely there'll be more people going in now, but the traffic has worked for decades getting in and out of there. Technically speaking, you could open it without doing anything, but we don't want to do that. I think we need to take care of our citizens on that. So the homework we have done at Mr. Morris and Mr. Evans and the two traffic engineers is very helpful for us. But I think a good discussion next time would alleviate a lot of citizens' concerns on that.
Certainly understand.
Thank you.
Okay. Getting back to the fresh market, their hours are normally at 9 during the week. They close and close early on Sunday, 5 or 6 o'clock on Sundays.
Sounds like a fresh market shopper.
Yes. Yep.
I think that's true. Well, the gentleman said that's what it would be here, too, so same as Augusta. So.
Right.
Okay. We've got a motion and a second. Show of hands, please, for approval. First reading passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item 3, first reading of an ordinance approving involuntary towing franchise agreements.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance granting non-exclusive towing franchises for involuntary towing within the city of Aiken. We have the rate schedule set forth in the memo that I provided council. The rates are not changing. It's just that every year council wanted to revisit our involuntary towing rotation list, and it's time for that renewal because the current franchises will expire next month. New applications for 2012 are Allstate Towing and M&M Towing. Both of them are in the Aiken City limits. And for heavy record rotation, Groom Service Center and Wayne's Automotive Center. The list in its entirety is on page 193, and we provided you copies with the franchise agreement, which has not substantially changed. It's more just to reflect the renewal, but we do need to approve that by ordinance because the original approval was by ordinance. So for consideration tonight is the first reading of an ordinance approving our annual towing franchise agreements with these entities.
Have the rates changed at all?
No, the rates have not changed.
Okay. Okay. Do we have a motion and a second?
I so move.
Second.
Okay. Discussion?
Yeah, I just have a couple of questions. How far does the towing permit? I mean, is there a distance that the
tows inside the city limits?
Within the city limits. So, I mean, if my car broke down and it towed out, I could tell them anywhere within the city that they would take it?
Well, no, this isn't for breakdowns. This is for involuntary tows, like somebody we stop on suspicion of
only DUI, involuntary.
Right, or
okay.
A car that's been abandoned. Anybody can call whomever they want to tow whatever they want towed, wherever they want it towed. This is just typically it's with public safety for an abandoned vehicle or somebody we've arrested.
And do we have a place where they typically take them? Or?
The towing company does, and that's why we have the storage.
So the towing company takes care of that.
They do. Yes, sir.
And I assume all of these people that are on the list have been doing a good job for us?
If they're not, they're not on the list.
Super. Okay, thank you.
Other comments? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay. We had one item. We've got another item. Downtown garbage collection update.
Yes. There's no council action required for this. Tim Coakley is here, who is your director of the Public Services Division. Excuse me, Public Services Department.
Thank
council directed that we end our commercial garbage collection operation. We have done so. As part of that, council wanted to continue collections in our historic downtown area just because of the unique needs of this, well, about four-block area that we're in right now. If you use B Lane and the alley as dividing up the big city block that these businesses are in. As part of that, we did go through a formal bidding process. Tyler Sanitation was the successful bidder. And Tim Coakley and Sarah Herring and his staff have been working very closely with our downtown businesses to transition the city out of the actual collection of the downtown garbage from these commercial accounts. We contacted everybody by a letter. We met last week. Was that Thursday?
Yeah, the 18th, Wednesday.
Wednesday, the 18th. And we had exactly two businesses represented, Westside Bowery and the Aiken Center for the Arts. There were no complaints with the proposed takeover. Tim is here, can give a little more information about all the due diligence they've done. Actually, some businesses saw their monthly rate go down because we had more folks contributing to the actual cost than we did in the past. So with that intro, Tim, tell us what we're doing.
Well, you summed up most of it. One of the reasons only we think only two businesses showed up for the informational meeting is because we've been meeting ongoing with these businesses in person. So they all knew their rate and knew what was going on. But we're about at the end of a two-year process. Y'all started discussing it a couple years ago, about 18 months ago. You wanted us to get out of the business. And you wanted us to help businesses. You know, we had about 400 accounts at that time, 380-something. So you wanted us to work through the logistics of helping those businesses switch out because we couldn't just remove the dumpsters. You know, took some coordination with whoever they chose to come in there. Another goal that you had for us was to work with the downtown and specifically this block that the city hall's in, bounded by Park Avenue, Lawrence Street, Richland, and Newberry. There are space issues where these businesses had to cooperate and share dumpsters at certain locations. So we immediately sold two of our trucks and got rid of the 385 accounts. And we continued to run this downtown area because B Lane was under construction at the time. And we were afraid that that would make it even more difficult with whoever the vendor was to be chosen. But that allowed us to get to know the customers a little better, a little closer. And we found out that a lot of the businesses that were using roll carts were actually using these dumpsters too as their overflow location. And we adjusted the service levels properly to where we no longer have roll carts in this block either. Everybody's using these dumpsters. So not only do we have one chosen vendor coming to get the dumpsters, but we don't have to run our city garbage truck down these streets either any longer. So that was a huge benefit of all these businesses working together. So the last step in this process is to switch over to Tyler Sanitation, who was our chosen vendor, for them to start doing the billing.
We say chosen vendor, but they were actually the successful bidder at the
formal bidding. That's correct. Went through our formal bid process. We've got a multi-year renewable contract with them, and they've been doing a wonderful job so far. I've had no complaints. So like I was saying, the last step is May 1st. All those businesses will start being billed by Tyler Sanitation instead of the city. Because of that, some businesses had to go down a little bit on their rate and some had to go up a little bit on their rate to fit into the Tyler's pricing schedule for their services. But we've shown everybody their new rate, met with all of them in person, had an informational meeting, and May 1st we're going to make the switch if council doesn't have any objections.
Do they pay you, or do they pay Tyler?
Right now, they're paying us, and we're writing a check to Tyler every month. But starting May 1st, they will get a bill from Tyler. They will pay Tyler direct. And the city still owns those dumpsters, and we have a downtown guy that's assigned to cleaning up downtown every day, and he checks the cleanliness of those, along with cleaning up the leaves and sidewalks, and seems to be doing a wonderful job. So. Everything's going well, and like Mr. Pierce said, you don't need to take any action on this tonight. I just wanted to update you that we're about done with a two-year project you asked us to do.
Okay, now, did we approve that? We've not approved that when we approved the other part.
You actually approved the city getting out of the commercial garbage business. This would just be receipt of information that it's our intention to go ahead and turn over the billing
approve.
To Tyler.
Prove that to
yes,
start
sir.
With. That was the way it was
yes,
worded.
Sir. That is right.
Okay.
I do have a comment or make it a question. My understanding is we are dealing with the property owners who owns the building or the land, right?
That's correct.
Because that was one of our kind of a fallacy last time we dealt with renters versus property owners.
Well, I may have misspoken. That's not exactly true. Some of the landlords have us build them, and then they include it in their rental agreement with their business. Some of the businesses have to have their own service.
Because Tyler, I'm sure, will keep an eye on that, but that kind of got us off skew last time. But Tyler, so their billing will start May 1st, and then all we do is keep an eye on, be sure the restaurants were the biggest issue before.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. Good job.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. Very good.
Thank you.
Richard, how about... reviewing with us the logo situation.
And when we did the strategic plan update in 2010, one goal was the updating of the city logo and branding the city for marketing purposes. The logo for the city is from 1955, so it is a standard. I mean, it's been seen around. We did have a local designer who donated the design. I've handed out to you. It's the actual design with a tree on it. And the word City of Aiken SC established 1835. And then this would be a prototype. And then the slogan, rooted in history, hospitality, and natural beauty. We actually spent a deal of time with staff who came up with some designs for a potential updated logo for the city. The packet that I've handed out to you today shows the actual logo. It shows its potential use on a city vehicle, on a city water elevated water tank, and as well as letterhead, so you could see it in color as well as in black and white. So we wanted to pass that out to council and just get a sense of what you would see as the potential next steps in shopping this prototype around, whether we need to go back and start over, or what council's desire would be towards the goal of the strategic plan to come up with an updated city logo.
One question we got into when we did the global study, if you print it not in color, does it show up? Because the global thing didn't do too well.
Yeah, you're talking about what we actually use on the cover.
Because the blue and stuff, blue and yellow don't go over. Does this copy in black okay?
We've got actually some letterhead, so it shows the logo in black and white. It's on that last page of the packet I've handed out to you, so you can see that. Do we have
pretty light, though. Could it be darker? Should it be darker?
It could be anything council would like. This, again, is just a prototype.
Mm-hmm. Well, I assume we're going to put it out in multiple languages. That's what the letter is. Yeah. It's not quite.
No, that's just a dummy letter. Oh. And it's just, it just shows how paragraphs and how the letter would look to put it in context.
Only in Latin. That's it.
It's not even Latin. It literally is like graphic designer gobbledygook.
I guess when I look at the black and white of that, it gets a little peaked looking. The black doesn't come off the page like the green. And
of course, you can bold that. You can do things with it to lighten it up. This was just to show what that design of black and white would look like.
Well, as it gets smaller, it gets harder to see. That'd be my only comment, traditionally with the underneath rooted in history, hospitality, and natural beauty, that's a good addition. It doesn't detract from their logo. I mean, the experts say that's a good to put words under a logo.
Typically, I mean, like the most current examples, probably over in the city of North Augusta, they call themselves South Carolina's Riverfront. Most logos tend to have a catch line with it.
Thank you.
I'd kind of like to see it, if we agreed on this, those letters to be a little bit bigger.
In the black and white version,
rooted.
Mayor?
Rooted.
Oh, the rooted. Sure. Sure, they could be any size.
Now, let me say this. I like this very much.
I do too.
But should we consider maybe going out to the city and having some kind of a contest or whatever, and then we'd get the best five, come back to the council?
Anything council would desire. Again, we were just trying to
get
the conversation started.
I mean, that's a stretch out that way to bring in folks to give their thoughts. I would have no problem in approving this, but I'm just thinking that might be something that...
I tend to agree.
Huh?
We did that on the naming of some of the parks and stuff, so I don't know if this
absolutely. You do that with the Park Bench publication where folks vote on the art that would be on a particular issue. It's whatever council desires. We were just starting the conversation.
But can we keep rooted in history, hospitality, and natural beauty?
It's totally up to council. Yeah.
The only thing I see which kind of, I don't know, visually, I'm not an artist at all, somehow or another, the root system infringes on the border.
You can adjust that. Sure, you can adjust that.
I would tend to go where the mayor is, you know. 29,524 opinions might be a help.
They are.
The other things we got very few comments on, but doing it would, you know, I think would just bring in the citizens.
Well, I do too. Sure.
I agree. We can get Amy to write a big article about big contest going on. We got to figure out what to give to the winner.
Just another way is
we'll give them a free logo
To bring people in.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Little kids. I mean, it's going to take a lot of time and effort and that kind of stuff, but at least it shows we care. And this still may pop to the top, you know, as far as we're concerned.
And it may inspire other designs and get the conversation started.
And the winner gets a mug with the old logo, right?
Yeah.
We actually have some mugs with the old logo. We have some mugs with the tourism logo. We have some mugs with their own little spoon in the hand. So,
that's good.
Yeah, your city manager has quite a treasure trove of them.
I got a couple items.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I made a comment earlier about the depth of the Planning Commission meetings and the fact that they have their pre-sessions. Am I the only one that feels the way I'm feeling? If I am, I'll just forget it and go home. But do any of you feel that the minutes should have been a little more detailed, or do you have any concerns about the pre-meeting that may or may not be attended by the public?
Well, I think
we used to have a pre-meeting in City Council.
Yeah,
but we have minutes.
A number of years. And then we, you know, to be more open, I don't exactly remember how it started, but we kind of did away with that. We would meet here, and for a short while, we would still have the pre-meeting here.
Right. When Jane was elected to council, that was a great concern of hers, that we would meet in the conference room, and it wasn't open, and her concern was that we have an open discussion in public. Even though we weren't doing anything wrong, we just had it next door.
Absolutely.
And so
I think if they feel like they need a pre-meeting, it ought to be
it'd be open.
It could be here and here and open.
I think that when we have a work session, it becomes part of the minutes. And I would say, and Mr. Wilkins may not be here, but Mr. Wilkins Bird. Basically, in the work session, we discussed the traffic issue with all these thoughts and ideas. And I would just think that the minutes of that would be appropriate. And however, we need to record them, and I think you almost have to record them because there was a lot of comments that Mr. DeWar brought up in some of us that were discussed in that meeting. And I think it's a matter of just putting it in the minutes, making it part of the minutes of the meeting.
Yeah, but if you put it in the minutes, there's people that are going to go to the regular meeting and they're not going to be aware that you were talking about that.
And this happened in this particular instance. So.
And again, getting back to Jane's comment in the area of transparency and openness, and this room allowed more of a reception to have that kind of dialogue versus in the room next door. People were more prone to come here versus in that room next door.
So your thought seems to be it's okay for the pre-meeting, but have it here as opposed to not having it at all.
Well, what's the purpose of the work session? I mean, we sat through the work session and we sat through the meeting on the 10th, I guess it was.
Well, sometimes they do have different issues that they tackle in the work session that's not on that agenda for that evening. But I feel as though, just as Councilman DeWar does, that the work session should be held out in the council chambers and folks should be able to attend and listen to everything said.
And I'd recognize one exception, because I think for the design review board, sometimes people just come to there to get a sense of what would you approve? Could I do this? Could I do that? And it's not a formal item on the agenda, but they sort of get the blessing, and then they go and they do their thing, and it comes back as a formal item. So they're just looking for guidance from the board. I guess I don't have a heartburn with that, but the concern is discussing an item that's on the agenda.
I have seen the Planning Commission work through some problems in the work session and them not be mentioned out here in the meeting.
That's
so
true.
It would be much better to have those open and that information out and available.
You know, Fresh Market is a good example of that. With Fresh Market, we discussed one place was all traffic. We resolved that in there. And I was there. I think Mr. Wells and several of us were in attendance. Mr. Amoki was. And that is a public meeting, by the way, so you can have more than three councilmen there to announce. But I think then we got into the regular commission meeting, and that just was kind of passe, and that was a critical time. But they're on it, so recording of the minutes would do it and issue them.
And the only other item I had, I'd like to publicly congratulate our new public safety captain, David Turno.
That was long.
Congratulations, yes. Well earned, and look forward to working with you.
And Mr. Shelley.
He's not here. Captain Shelley's not here.
Yes. He's on retire, rehire.
Yes.
Right.
So he'd be back in a couple of weeks.
Yep. Okay, anything else? Because we've got an executive session. If,
that's right, we do.
If council will vote to go into executive session, do we have a motion?
I move that we go into executive session.
Second. Second.
Everybody? Okay. Passes unanimously. And the purpose is to talk about a potential contractual matter.
I'm going to give it to my dear and say, what do you think? So moved.
To go out of session?
Yes.
We have a motion and we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we're out of session and we did discuss the potential contractual matter and no votes were taken, no decisions made there. And we will, if more to come from that issue, then it will be on our agenda at a later date. Okay? We are.
Maybe you get to go home early tonight. Yeah, to your husband.
That's right, your new husband.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Good meeting.
Yes, Kelsey, we are finished.
Well, happy to see you.